Good morning. It's great to be with you. I think we can admit the oddness of this situation. I'm preaching to a nearly empty sanctuary. I'm anticipating that when I say something hysterical, there won't be the waves of laughter that I use. No, wait, that doesn't always happen. For you, going to church on some little screen, it's odd. It's an odd time. But I would say, let's not let the oddness of the situation rob us of the blessing. Gathering, however we gather as the people of God, to hear God's word read and proclaimed. Let's not miss the blessing that is there. I'll be reading from Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Paul writes his letter to the Ephesians and says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called into the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who has ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working together, promotes the body's growth and building itself up together in love. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. You, our solid rock and firm redeemer. Amen. Have you ever given much thought to flies? Having all this incredible weather these last couple of months, I feel like I've spent a lot of time outside and have encountered a few of these little critters. Studying flies happens to be the job description of a group of scientists at the Marine Science Laboratory, or maybe laboratory, in North Wales. They devote their days to studying flies. And it's not just for the skill of spreading disease or ruining a pleasant picnic in the park, as charming as those traits might be. No, it is the fly's talent for hanging out on a ceiling. There's a whole branch of study called zygology, from the Greek word zygos, which means yoke, as in a harness that connect oxen so that they can pull together. Zygology is the study of how things hold together. If scientists can harness the sticky power of flies' feet, no telling what could happen. Now, some would say that the last century was amazing for a number of things, like a moon landing and the personal computer and the microwave and Chia Pets and the internet. But think about a world without crazy glue and scotch tape and liquid nails and Post-it notes, one of my favorites. It was a very good century for sticky stuff. The first century of the church, not so good at sticky things. And the Apostle Paul is concerned. He knew the church at Ephesus. He knew that they were a diverse group of people. Knew that sticking together could be an issue for them. You hear his concern when he says, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He knew that any number of things could have this potential for splintering the church, devolving into fractured groups of jealous, backbiting, combative people, or the opportunity to be the real body of Christ, a collection of very different people all working together to make one body. When Admiral William McRaven addressed a graduating class at the University of Texas a few years back. Remember graduations where people... Yeah. We'll have those again, I'm sure. He offered them a lesson from his Navy training days. During SEAL training, the cadets are divided into boat crews. 7 trainees, 3 on one side of a small rubber raft and 3 on the other, and a coxswain in the back to help guide the dinghy. And every day your boat crew would form up on the beach and was instructed to get through the surf zone and paddle several miles down the coast. In the winter, the surf in San Diego can get to be 8 to 10 feet high, making it incredibly difficult to paddle through the plunging surf unless that everyone digs in. Every paddle must be synchronized. And everyone must exert equal effort or the boat will turn and be unceremoniously plumped back down on the beach. For the boat to make it to its destination, everyone must paddle. You can't change the world alone, McRaven told him. You will need some help. And to truly get from your starting point to your destination, it takes friends, colleagues, the goodwill of strangers, and a strong coxswain to guide them all. If you want to change the world, find someone to help you paddle. Down through the centuries, the church has sometimes been likened to a ship. These days, I wonder if a rubber dinghy might be an apt symbol as we face turbulent waters from without and from within. A few churches I've seen resembled my raft the time that my wife Kay and I joined up with some friends to navigate the Nantahala River. It's a great river to raft because the water supply is fairly reliable. If there hasn't been enough rain, they simply open some gates at the bottom of a dam that is filled with melted snow. So regardless of the time of year, you've got water. 35, 36 degree water in the middle of the summer. Me and my overly confident teammates in our raft we're surveying the group of people that were going to spend the day with us. And we spotted a group of older ladies all decked out. Didn't want that to happen. All decked out in khaki shorts, baggy, matching tops, floppy hats, and legs that had not seen the sun in a very long time. And we snickered, I have to admit. What are they doing on a whitewater rafting trip? I just hope they don't get hurt or slow us down. Well, it turns out that they were Girl Scout leaders, well acquainted with rough waters for several decades. We, on the other hand, despite the expedition's leaders' instructions that we pick one leader of the raft and then he or she tells everyone who needs to paddle where, and we thought that our extensive experience, like two youth group outings in the last 15 years or so, qualified us to pass on the offer of an experienced guide in our raft. We got this. We got this. And so here we go. The Girl Scout leaders were a well-oiled machine. Straight down the river, churning water everywhere like an arrow. And we would bump into one bank and get free and bump in. It was sort of pinball canoeing. And finally, at one of our stops, the frustrated guy came over and said, "There are too many leaders and not enough followers in this boat." We had friends, and we were paddling, but we weren't going much of anywhere. What does it take to stick together as a church? Back to zygology for a moment. There are two properties that make for a successful adhesive. One is mobility. Molecules must be able to flow into the nooks and crannies of a break, able to coat both surfaces, pull molecules together. But mobility isn't enough all by itself. Honey is mobile, but it makes lousy glue. The other property needed is the ability to tie molecules to form strong links with one another. Superglue does its thing by having tiny mobile molecules that through chemical processes link to form a matrix of giant molecules or polymers. So if holding the church together is something like putting a broken plate back together, then can we say that Christ is the crazy glue of the church? Not a phrase I've learned in seminary, but I think it's right. Paul speaks of Christ ascending and descending, and he says, "He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things." If a good glue is all about mobility, think about the mobility of Jesus Christ. He flows into the light and darkness of our lives, the health and the brokenness of us, the sanctified and sinful places of our lives. He uses the unique persons that we are and are becoming, and through us, all of us, as different as we all are, all with different gifts that He has bestowed, He makes something called church. So what about the polymers, the matrix of giant molecules that make sure things don't fall apart? Paul reveals what I believe is the secret formula to the chemical reaction in Christian crazy glue. And you might want to copy down the recipe. Truth. Love. That's it. Two ingredients. Paul says, speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Truth and love. Each one individually something wonderful, together powerful beyond measure. Truth. Well, I was just saying the truth. Truth without love can be harsh and judgmental. Love I love them too much to say that to them. It can be a little something soft and undisciplined. Together, truth and love, they bind the church together in incredibly strong ways. Have you experienced it? Have you been in some group where the love is great enough to tell the truth? You're killing yourself by living like you're living right now. Friend, you are less than you could be because you haven't let go of the past. Have you ever loved someone enough to tell them you are believing all the wrong things about yourself, failing to see how gifted you are, what great good you could accomplish if you would believe what God has placed in you? It is risky, this speaking the truth in love. Risky because someone might do it to you too. But it's a beautiful thing to see. People are transformed because someone has cared enough to speak the truth in a way that it can be heard. These are uncertain days. Things seem so fractured out in the world and inside the church too. In some quarters, ugly quarrels over when and how to get back to normal in the church. And if you listen in, there's hardly any hint of the thing Paul has commended to the Ephesians. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I would say that getting back to normal, as lovely as that sounds, may not be what God is calling us to. Maybe a better goal is, how are we going to be the church that the world needs right now? Not yesterday. Right now. This is not the time to fall down and worship at the altar of personal preference. This little cult has been doing damage to the church for a while now. Have you ever heard the chants of the personal preference people? Let's say people. I don't like it. This is the only criteria by which things are judged. Breaking news, we are not required to have an opinion on everything. We think we do. Everywhere you look, thumbs up, thumbs down. The fur question, are you for him or against him? And sometimes we judge what the church is doing by whether it suits us or not. I don't like it. Not, I wonder what God would like. I wonder what God might be up to if we stop long enough to ask God. When I was the Shreveport District Superintendent, I offered to bring a sign to every church to hang over the entrance. 5 words. It's not all about you. Some people started calling me the snarky DS. I don't really know that. Why? Oh, to be the sticky church, held together, pulling together, growing in truth and love. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. When things feel like they're falling apart, the church sticks together. Let us pray. Loving God, Speak your truth to us in the days to come. Keep us attuned to what we are to be, what we are to do, how we are to manifest your grace and love in the world. What a privilege to be called into this body. Help us to live up to this high calling by always seeking your truth and your love. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.